Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, over on both sides. I was asked by a number of the people who are regulars in our shul to give a special shiur this evening in commemoration of the 10th anniversary of the attacks on the United States on September 11, 2001, 10 years ago. Looking around, all of us here, I'm sure, remember exactly where we were when we heard the news of what had taken place. I guess people a little older have that same recollection as to where they were when they heard that President Kennedy had been assassinated. The previous generation will remember where they were when they heard about the invasion on Pearl Harbor. Mr. Cass here. These are events which are embedded in our memories. We recall that 10 years ago today, September 11th, was a Tuesday. It was exactly a week before Rosh Hashanah. We had already started to say Slichas. When Rosh Hashanah falls early in the week, we begin Slichas two Saturday nights, two Motzei Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. That was the case that year. And it was actually the third day of Slichas. It was a beautiful day, a clear sky. I'm sure many of us saw in the recent days, especially today and recently, images on television. So I don't need to repeat or to go over everything that happened. We all know what happened. We recall the confusion that prevailed at first. Nobody knew what was going on. But obviously the events of that day changed the world as we know it here in the United States. Terms like airport security and the security checkpoint, homeland security and so on, these were terms that we're not familiar with here as Americans. Actually, as Jews, we were perhaps a little more familiar with those terms than most because we visited Eretz Yisrael, so we knew what it was like to go through the airport upon going through Eretz Yisrael, returning. You had checkpoints there, and there was a line to get out of Eretz Yisrael. You had to go to a special security area and so on. So we were familiar, at least to some extent, with this. But the idea that this was in the United States was something certainly none of us expected. I remember when one of my daughters was in Eretz Yisrael at the time for her year after high school. And at that time there had been terrorist attacks in Eretz Yisrael, and all of us who have friends and family in Eretz Yisrael, when we hear about such an attack, we called Eretz Yisrael to find everyone's okay and so on. And here she remarked it the reverse. She was in Yerushalayim, she was calling us here in New York, here in New Jersey, to find out if we were okay. It was something surreal. In fact, I also remember my wife works in Lower Manhattan, not on the west side, where the towers were, on the east side. And it was actually through her that I first heard about it. And then later in the morning, you couldn't get through. The phone lines were not working, at least the phone lines from here. In those days, 10 years ago, it was a long time ago. Not everybody had a cell phone. I didn't have a cell phone 10 years ago. I'm sorry I have it now. But I couldn't get through to her. And my father in Yerushalayim was able to get through to my wife in Lower Manhattan. I guess the international lines were not impacted the same way, however it works. I don't know how it works. And he was the one who called and said that she's okay and so on. And they asked medical personnel, she's in the medical field, they asked medical personnel to stay in New York, not to leave. They expected that there would be a lot of people rushed to hospitals and so on. In fact, they set up triage centers, as people remember, in Chelsea Piers. And one of the stadiums, they expected a really tremendous number of people to go in. It never happened. Basically, either you got out of the building or you didn't. There were rescue workers who were hurt and so on. But they did not happen the way they expected it to play. No one knew what was going to be, but the hospitals were not, in fact, overloaded and people being brought in, because if you didn't get out, you didn't get out. And the people who did. People had smoke inhalation and things like that from rescue workers. It was I remember seeing, I was riveted like everybody else to the news, and I thought that the casualties would be there were 3,000 casualties on the day between all the attacks, and that's of course a tremendous tragedy. We don't minimize the loss of one life, let alone 3,000 lives, but I, at least for one, thought there would be at least 10 times that. So we saw the buildings collapse. I thought at least 10 times that. It might have been, I think, had even 15 or 20 minutes later had it happened. It was the first plane hit, I think, at 8:45 or so. If people weren't all at work yet. So had it been 15 minutes later, half hour later, an hour later, the casualties would have been that much more. And again, the day is embedded in our community here in Teaneck. Some of us know people who didn't go to work that day. For whatever reason, some people went a little bit late because of Slichas. There are people I know who were on the ferry who saw it happening. As my brother-in-law was there on the ferry, and another friend was on a ferry, saw it coming across the Hudson River and so on. And there are many stories, and the truth of the matter is the Orthodox community here in Teaneck was not hit hard. People that were nearby and so on and so forth. To my knowledge, there was only one person who was a member of the Orthodox community here in Teaneck, and again, I'm not dividing who's who, just in terms of our own shul, and that was Mark Mordechai Rosenberg, a young fellow who had recently joined our shul. Our shul was not in this building at that time. We were renting the Smedrish and the Torah Academy, TABC building on the other side of the tracks. And it was a young fellow who grew up in West Orange, Mark Mordechai Rosenberg, who had recently gotten married and had shortly before then joined our shul. I knew who he was. I said hello to him a few times. We've spoken briefly a few times. But we heard within the day that he was missing and there were signs and so on. I was in contact by his wife. And, you know, I was one of those people who remember seeing many signs and pictures. Have you seen so and so? And obviously something was found out that he perished. And when the shul building went up, so it was decided by the people putting up the shul that we would name our shul Zichron Mordechai in his memory. And while this is not a memorial service for him this evening, it's not the halachic yahrzeit today, September 11th, 10th anniversary, is the solar calendar date, but I spoke with somebody today, actually, who also used to daven in our shul, a fellow named Chaim Lazar, made Aliyah, lives in Eretz Yisrael, who was a very good friend of his from here in Teaneck. And he said what always struck him is that maybe a week or two before, he and his wife had been helped by Mark Rosenberg with something or other, moving or something, and he said he didn't remember exactly what it was, but he helped him out. And this fellow, Chaim Lazar, told me that he commented to his wife, "This guy is like from a different place, he's like an angel." That's what he said, a little more than a week before September 11th. And he was a very, very pleasant guy. He was master to learning. He's a legendary story in the Morash HaKolo. Many of our children studied, they call it Moko, Morash HaKolo, Rabbi Cohen, Rabbi Willie. And there were certain years, there were certain times of the year where there was not enough beds in the bunks there. Those who visited know the cramped quarters of those bunks. And Mordechai Rosenberg was a student in that Kolo. And there wasn't enough beds, so he slept in his car. And it was set up, and so Rabbi Willig allowed him to sleep in the car on Shabbos because they were disconnected. So that became his bunk for the summer. He didn't want to not learn in the kolo. So okay, another bed, we'll sleep in his car. That was the type of fellow that he was, and just a nice guy, pleasant. Also said, spoke something about him. He had just recently got married and started davening in the shul and joined the shul right away. Not really does that. He felt a responsibility to the community. And again, I speak not having known him well, you know, but you know, a fine person. And again, from our community, he was one of the lives that was extinguished on that day. And so we'll dedicate the shiur this evening and the family should find comfort together with the families of all of the people who lost loved ones. I just heard on the radio coming over, there were 100 and something children who were born not knowing their father because the father was killed, the mothers were pregnant on September 11th. And I just had a get together today of all the children who were born and never got to meet their fathers. Very, very sad. And again, a day that lives in infamy in the history of the United States. Just the images sear. I just say one personal thing I mentioned in Yeshiva this morning. I have a practice, I can't call it a minig, it's not a halachic practice, but in the weeks before Yom Tov, whatever Yom Tov is coming up, so I try and play certain music in my house that relates to the upcoming Yom Tov. And my kids know, I sort of set a mood in the house, in my own Mishigas. So I have certain tunes that I play traditionally. So one of the tunes that I always play in the weeks before Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, I have my own setup. So I start on the Motzei Shabbos Aslichos. That's when I start this tune. So one of the tunes I always play is the tune that Shreki sings, Techu Imochem Vokeh, Techu Imochem Devorim. Some of you know the tune. And I play that in my house a lot. I enjoy that tune very much. And when I set up the machine, that it plays different things over and over again. You want to keep changing them. So that day, September 11th, I was riveted to the television watching again, and there was nothing on. They just showed again and again, different angles and day, over and over again. But I had that song always in the background, and I cannot now think about the World Trade Center without thinking of that song. And when I hear that, I think of that song, I think of the Pearl Shaker. It's just embedded in my heart. And I just thought, you know, before we actually begin the shir, Kechuy Machem Dvarim Meshuvah Hashem. It's a funny expression, Kechuy Machem Dvarim. Well, those words come from the Rabbi Hoshea, it's the Haftar of Shabbat Shuvah. Beginning of the Kechuy Machem Dvarim Meshuvah Hashem. I'm sorry, it's the beginning of the Haftar of Shabbat Shuvah. Kechuy Machem Dvarim Meshuvah Hashem. So Meshuvah Hashem, we know what it means, repent, return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is Kechuy Machem Dvarim? It's difficult to explain, different interpretation, but you know, Derech HaDrush, I thought that perhaps one interpretation is Kechuy Machem Dvarim takes things to heart, takes things to, but things don't just happen, take things to heart to bring it into, internalize things. Kechuy Machem Dvarim, those things that happen, we internalize them. And as Jews, whatever happens, we have to use an opportunity to go closer, to go closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The one of the halachic issues, there are many halachic issues that emerge in the whole series, of course, are the issues related to the aguna, the women who were, you know, whose husbands were there and so on. But one of the issues which came up in a situation like this morning, I heard that we had an Ayur Yeshiva this morning, somebody spoke to, who was with Hatzalah, who was actually one of the first ambulances that that got to the site, and he was inside, and he left, and he came back later, and so on, very interesting story. But one of the questions that comes up is, as I entitled on top of the paper, if you didn't get a sheet, please look on with someone else who has, endangering one's life to save somebody else. Is it permissible, according to halacha, to put your life at risk? You're not in danger, you're safe and sound. Are you allowed to endanger your own life to save somebody else? Are you or you're required to do that? More than that, you're allowed to, or you're required to do it. So those are, that's really the question I'd like to look at this evening. That's a question which confronts first responders. It's a question that comes up in other cases, not such tragic cases like this, but other cases sometimes you have someone is in danger, someone's drowning, okay, or there's a fire or something like that, and there's some danger to you. If I keep walking or I stay away, so I'm safe, but there's somebody inside, and so on. Some, am I obligated? Am I allowed to? So that's a sugya I'd like to look into. I'm not here to pask in the showers, but to go over the, some of the issues. So the first of all, we have to establish the fact, and that's in the first source on the paper, two psukim in Parshas Leschanan, which in terms of the simple pshat have absolutely nothing to do with this topic. The two psukim in Parshas Leschanan, talking about remembering the events of Har Sinai. It says there in source number one, it's Dvarim Perek Dalet Pasuk Ches, the first Pasuk, Rav Ki Shomer Lecha Ushmor Nafshecha Ma'od Pen Tishtach Ezeh Dvarim Asher Lanecha V'Pen Yasur Mevocha Kol Yimei Chayecha V'Odaykem L'Vanecha V'Vnei Vanecha. Rav Ki Shomer Lecha Ushmor Nafshecha Ma'od. Guard yourself, watch yourself very, very carefully, so that once you'll not forget what happened at Har Sinai. That's that's the context. Remember what happened at Har Sinai. But the key phrase for us is the opening phrase. Yishomer lecha u'shmor nafshecha. Watch yourself, guard yourself very, very carefully. Okay, in context, nothing to do with our topic. Same thing with the next pasuk, a few pasuk, and later pasuk, Kazrava Karagala, still in source one. V'nishmartem me'od v'nafsho seichem. Guard yourself very, very carefully. And then again, it goes on to discuss matters relating to Har Sinai. Taken out of context, just the phrase that I highlighted, those psukim come to tell us that a person has to guard himself and watch himself very, very carefully. Take care of his health. You're not allowed to endanger yourself. And the Gemara applies it that way. The Gemara in Brachos in source number two, that's Lamed Beis and Beis. The Gemara says, Tanar Abonim, my, the bottom of the page, Lamed Beis and Beis and Brachos, Tanar Abonim, Maisa Bechosid Echad, Shehoya Mispalel. There was a certain pious person who was davening, or somewhere along the way, Mispalel Bederach. Ba Hetmon Echad, a certain officer, a non-Jewish officer came by, the Nosan Oshalom, and greeted him, the Lo Hatzil Oshalom. He didn't respond, he didn't. He was a little shy, so he didn't answer back, he didn't greet him. To him, Tilah, to see him, Tilah, so he waited till he finished davening. La'acha, to see him, Tilah, so after he finished, Amalo, Reka, fool, empty head, doesn't it say in your Torah, this non-Jew, I guess he knew some Torah, doesn't it say in your Torah, guard yourself, watch yourself, watch your life, take care of your life, and also you have to guard your life carefully. When I greeted you and said hello, how dare you not respond? If I would chop your head off with a sword, who would say I was wrong? Who's going to punish me? So this person understood. Now you could say this was a non-Jew, misinterpreted the psukim, but the Gemara doesn't say that the guy didn't answer. No, that's not what the psukim mean. Explained it, understood that these psukim mean, guard your life, be careful, you're going to allow to endanger yourself. So there we have a source in the Torah that a person is not permitted to put himself in any kind of danger. You have to guard your life, you have to watch yourself, you have to allow to do something that can bring you any loss of life or danger to your life. Similarly, there's a pasuk, a more famous pasuk. You don't like that source because you say, well, that was a non-Jew's interpretation of the psukim. But the Gemara doesn't reject it. The Gemara doesn't say it's wrong. There's a pasuk in Parshas by Yishlach, source number 3. By basis of on the base pasuk Gedalah, Katonti mikalachasor mikalanas asher asisas abdecha kivimakli avartes the arden azev atayis of the shnei machros. These are the words of Yaakov Avinu before his confrontation with Esav upon his return to Eretz Yisrael, and he davened to Hakadosh Baruch Hu and says, Katonti mikalachasodim, I am small. Now the usual way we learn that pasuk, I am small, I'm undeserving of all the kindnesses you've done to me till now. But he's praying that Hashem should help him in this confrontation with Esau. So he says, I'm small, but that's not a Rashi learns. Rashi learns a little differently based on the Gemara. We'll see in the fourth source, Rashi here says, Katonti mikol ha-chasodim, nismatu zichuyosai, al yidei ha-chasodim ha-emer, shesisim, ilachach ha-niyorei, shem rishatatani, nislach lachti b'chei, b'yigrom li limos av yad Esau. I'm smaller, meaning I don't have as much credit anymore. I don't have enough cash in the bank anymore. You know, God, you've been so kind to me. You bailed me out so many times before. I'm afraid this time I'm out of credit. That's a katonti. I've been made smaller based on all of the chasad and all of the kindness and all the good things you've done to me over the years. I feel I've used up my credit. And now here I'm confronting Esau. That's why I'm frightened. Maybe I'm not going to be entitled to any additional protection. That's how the Gemara learns. That's where Rashi gets it from, source 5. We're in Shabbos, Lamed Beis, and Rav Yano, Tamei, Domar, Le'olam al Yamud Adam Makom Sakona. A person should never go into a dangerous place. Never stand in a dangerous location. And say, Lomar Sholsin Lom Nes. And think, God, I'll be okay. And you know, a miracle will happen. I'll be safe. I'll be alright. Mimosin Lom Nes, because even if he does turn, it turns out to be okay, and a miracle is done, he's saved from whatever dangers there are in this place. Minachin Lom Nesiyosov. That lowers his merits. It ruins his credit. And next time, you know, he won't be so lucky. If you use, don't go intentionally someplace and put yourself in danger and bank on the fact that a Kadosh Baruch will bail you out, because even if he does, then you'll be in trouble next time. Amar Khan and Maikro, Katonti Mikalachasar Mikalana, that's the pasuk by Yaakovina. So here we have another source which tells us again a person could not intentionally place himself in any kind of danger, because even if he's saved, the next time he'll be in danger not on purpose, not intentionally, and he won't be saved, Rachman al Islam. So another source that tells us to be very careful about avoiding danger. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Yud, source number 6, says a famous statement, Shmanino, Chamira Sakanta Misura Shmanino. A Sakana is more stringent, we should be more stringent in avoiding danger than we are in avoiding Yisurim, prohibited things, right? So let's say, talking about foods, right? Certain foods are prohibited based on the laws of Kashrus. So people are very careful not to eat such food. What about foods which are dangerous? So the Gemara says, Chamiris, that's even more. You have to be even more careful with dangerous things than you are with things that are in violation of Halacha. And therefore the Rambam tells us based on all of this, this is Hilchos Rotzeach, which is seed source number 7, the full title of Hilchos Rotzeach, is Hilchos Rotzeach Ushmiras Nefesh. The laws of murder and guarding your life. This is Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Dalet, talking about a mitzvah we read in yesterday's Sedra, about putting up a marker, a fence, a gate around the roof where people walk, no one should fall down. So the Rambam writes in source 7, Halacha Dalet of Perek Yud Aleph Hilchos Rotzeach, Echad Hagad Echad Kol Dover Sheyesh Bo Sakana. Whether it's the roof or anything where there's a danger, you have to be careful not to let someone fall in and so on. He says, for example, if you have a pit, or you know, a bore, a pit, a hole in the place where people are going to walk by and so on, you have to make sure to put a covering over it. You can read this itself. And what is the Rambam quote at the end of the Dalet? Shemel are those tzukin, the same tzukin Megoyin that Gemara Baruch is quoted. Turns out he was right, the non-Jews, because it says, Shemel are he shomer lecho shmor nafshecho. Right, if you don't cover up, you don't put fences or covers where there's danger, or put a little slime, you're guilty of causing people to get harmed, and you harm yourself, and so on. Then halacha hey, the Rambam adds, there are many things which the chacham prohibited because it leads to danger. And a person who violates it saying, what's it? That's my own business. What's it to anybody's business what I do? Right? I'm willing to take the chance. Why should the rabbis tell me don't do X, Y, and Z? I'm taking the chance. I'm not worried about this. No, makin also makas marvis. You beat him into shape, right? You get him into shape, you got it. You don't kill him, but you know, that'll defeat the purpose. But you get him into shape, so he takes care of it. The Rambam then goes on to list a whole bunch of things, which I didn't print here, whether all these things that the Chacham mastered are compatible with the current medical knowledge and so on, not our topic. Right? I'm a whole list of things. Then in the next source, in the source 8, that's the next parrot, Parag Yudbeis, Allah Chavav, he summarizes all these different things. You know, he talks about not putting coins in your mouth and so on because of germs. I mean, the Rambam was a doctor too. And all these things are dangerous to your health. And he writes towards the end of the first line that's printed in source 8, V'chein asul adam lavor tachas kir notoy. If you have a wall that's about to collapse, a building that looks like it's in danger of collapsing, you don't go in there. All guests are off. The bridge is rickety. Right? You don't go in there. It's a go into a building. Or the Kanasa Chorba, a building that's about to fall down. You have to stay away from it. All these things are usher. Again, the Rambam is telling us this as a halacha. And this halacha appears as well in the Shulchan Aruch, the very last two paragraphs, the entire Shulchan Aruch. Choshen Mishpat Siman Top Chav Zayin, Source 9, Sif Tes, on the next page, Sif Yud. These two Sifim are the very last two Siman in the entire Shulchan Aruch. Choshen Mishpat basically quotes like the Rambam, Hargar, and also he gives some examples. He's looking Sif Tes on the bottom of the page. Lo Yaniach Pival Hasilon and Makalech Yishke. Don't put your mouth, you know, with the water, by a water fountain, you know. Don't put your mouth on the part where, you know, where people's germs are. Right? So these are things which are medical advice, right? And the very, again, other things which perhaps we don't understand as compatible with our scientific knowledge. Anyway, the Shulchan Aruch tells us these things are also in the very last, this is the very last, top of the next page, is the very last statement in the entire Shulchan Aruch in Sif Yud. It says, Kala over Alvarim Elo Keotabam. Anybody who violates any of these things, he says, I'm willing to endanger myself. I'm not worried about it. You're supposed to convince them that it's wrong. But Hanizim I am all of Tavo Birchas Tov. And a person is careful about it, so good things will happen to him. The Sma, the Sefer Miri Sinai, one of the commentaries in the page in Shulchan Aruch. So where does this come from? Source number 10. Again, what's the mucker for this ruling in the Shulchan Aruch? Again, the psukim we had back in Source 1 in Parshas Vayechanan. Shulchsev Yishom Elecha Usmor Nafshom Ma'od. Again, like you said, like that non-Jew, Darshan the Psukim, that's correct, that's what the Rambam says, that's what the Sma says in the Shulchan Aruch. It's interesting, just as an aside, it's not on the sheets, but the Der HaGola, which is printed on the side of the page in the Shulchan Aruch, usually the Der HaGola just tells you where in the Gemara, or where in the Rambam, or where in the Mishonim, the Shulchan Aruch gets his ruling from. Shulchan Aruch just tells you a ruling, but it doesn't tell you where he got it from. So the Der HaGola was the grandfather of the Vilna Gaon. Great grandfather of the Vilna Gaon, Moshe Rifkis was his name. So he tells you where this didn't. Do you want to find the original source? He tells you where to find it. So here, but sometimes he comments. This is one of the places where he comments as well. And he says, for example, in an Ost, let me just find it here, in Ost Samach. I'm sorry, Ost Ayin. He writes. Yeah. So the first thing he discusses is whether it's a deraisa. He says it could be a deraisa. All these dinim are at least originate in a deraisa. That's he writes in Ost Ayin. It looks like it's drabanan, but it's possibly even it's deraisa. And at Osadi, he writes nila nisaiti. Hatam she's here at Torah shmiras nefesh. Why does the Torah go out of its way to tell people to take care not to do anything dangerous? Nitam shakadosh baruch hu boras olam b'chasa lahati lanivraim. Hakadosh baruch hu in his kindness created the world to make it pleasant for people. And shakir gulaso lavo ravodaso to serve God, to recognize his greatness, etc. And everything like the pasuk says, "Kol mikra b'shmi l'chvodo brosi," right? L'chvodi brosi. Because Baruch Hu created everything to bring him glory and so on, that we should praise him and understand who he is and give reward. And a person who therefore masakin is atmo kilu mois derotzon boro. Someone who puts himself in danger, it's like you're rejecting the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Eino Rotze, Lo Bo Lador, so I don't have anything to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't have anything to do with anything, and that's, is there any greater Eino Chazilzul, Afkirusa Yosem Yisrael. There's no greater Zilzul in rejection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu than that. Those are strong words. Now, the Shulchan Aruch elsewhere discussed this as well, in Yerodeah Siman Kuf Tes Zayin, looking source 11, Siman Kuf Tes Zayin, Sif A, tells you other things to be careful about, and the Ramor writes on the third line, V'chein yizor mikol advarim amevi nidei sakana ki sakanta chamir meisura v'yesh lochish yosho l'osa l'sofik sakana l'sofik isur, and don't stand under a wall, and all these things. And he says at the end the same things we mentioned before. So there's a whole discussion in the post, which I'm not going to go through now. I printed on the sheet. First of all, the Vilna Gaon in source 12, the Bir HaGro in Sifkot and Teres, says that the source is that Gemara in Shabbos, based on Yaakov Avinu Katon from Kalachasor. There's a whole discussion which we're not going to read inside now. The Taz and the Fiske Tshuva have an interesting question to think about it. You know, we have a rule when it comes to an Isser. So if I have a little bit of milk spills into the chicken soup, so everybody's ever looked into this before knows the famous rule of 60 to 1, right? Bitul b'shisha. Depends if there's 60 times as much hetter as this, so then the pot will be allowed and so on and so forth. What about if it's something that's dangerous? Do we have the rule of bitul b'shisha too? By danger? Maybe it's a little bit poisonous? I don't know. The rule of 60 to 1? That's a whole discussion in the Taz and the Pesach Tshuva. So whether we say it or not, I just put it on the page for you to think about. Anyway, we've established the fact that this is point A, that basically the Torah is very concerned, the halacha, it's in the Gemara, it's in the Rambam, it's in the Shulchan Aruch, that a person is not permitted to put himself into any kind of danger. You have to guard your life, you have to watch yourself, and to protect yourself from any danger. Okay. Part B, source number 15. A famous pasuk, the first half will say lechrochu ba'amecha, not our problem tonight, about not slandering and gossiping. The second half of the pasuk, lo stamod al dam reyecho ani Hashem. Don't stand idly by the blood of your friend, I am Hashem. Explains Rashi in source 16, that's the Bashish Kedoshim, Paragud Test, Pasuk Test Zion. Says Rashi in source 16, Lo Samad Odam Reecha, Liros B'Misoso, just watch somebody die, V'Ata Yochol Hatzilo, and you are able to save them. You can't just walk away. Kegon, Tovea Benahar, you see a guy drowning in the river, and you're a trained lifeguard. Right? Or the Chaya Olistim by Malav. He's being attacked by a wild animal, or so they're being mugged by robbers and so on. You're not allowed to simply Samar Dam Reyecha, you're not allowed to stand by. And therefore, that's based on the Gemara on the top of the next page, source 17, a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Gimel Ben Aleph, Minayin Laroes Chaveru Shu Tovea Ben Nahar, O Chaya Gorarto, O Listin Bonalav Shu Chaya Vahatzila. How do we know that when you see somebody else is drowning in a river, or is being attacked by an animal, or is being attacked by people, or maybe like animals, right, Shu Chaya Vahatzila, you have to save him? Tamad Lomo, Tamad Odam Reecha. That's the pasuk there in Parshas Kedoshim, Lo Samad Odam Reecha, says Rashi, Lo Samad, source 18, don't just stand by his blood. Save him. You can't just look the other way. You can't just say, it's not my problem. I don't know him. I don't want to know him. I'm minding my own business. I can't get involved. No, that's the din. You're not allowed to stand by when somebody else is in danger. And that is brought in the Rambam as well. And so it's 19. Hilchos Rotzeach again. Rotzeach Shmiras Nefesh. This time, Perek Aleph. Halacha Yud Dalid. Call Hayochol Lahatzil, somebody who's capable of saving somebody. The Lo Hitzil, he didn't save him. Over Alo Samar Adam Reecha, he's in violation of this prohibition. Lo Samar Adam Reecha. V'chein and therefore Haroes Chaver Tovah Bayom. You see somebody drowning in the ocean. Olistin Ba'alav, Ochay Roa Ba'alav. V'Yochol Lahatzil Hu Ba'atmo, and you can save him. Or if you can't save him, Oshi Yiskar Achem Lahatzilo. You can give a guy. Here's $100. Go find, save this guy and so on. You hire someone else to take care of him. You don't do it. All you hear that people are plotting against him, and you can tip him off. They're coming after you. Get out of town, or whatever it may be. You don't do it. All of these things is losamal adam reecha. And again, this appears in the Shulchan Aruch as well. So it's 20. Choshen Mishpat Simon Tov Chav Vav. Before we talk Chazan, it's Tov Chav Vav Sif Aleph. Haroes Chaver Tovei Bayam. All the same things. This is same as the Rambam. It's brought la halacha. You're required to save a person. We all know the famous statement of the mission in Sanhedrin, Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, source 21, V'chol HaMekayim Nefesh Achas MiYisrael Malah LeMakosuv Kilu Kiyem Olam Maleh. Anybody who saves the life of even one Jew, it's like they saved an entire world. So, now we have a statement, or a positive halacha, that one is required to do whatever he can to save the life of somebody else. So in part A, we demonstrated that according to halacha, a person is not allowed to put himself into danger, not allowed to jeopardize your own life, put yourself in a risky situation. Now we've established in part B here, we've shown sources again based on Pesukim and the Gemara and the Mountain of Shofar and everybody, that you are not permitted to simply look away when somebody's in danger. You have to do what you can to save somebody. Now of course the problem comes up, and that's really our topic, is what happens when these two values collide. Okay, what happens? These two values in conflict. Okay, if there's no conflict, so let's say I'm a trained lifeguard and so on, and somebody's driving a swimming pool, so then I go and I save the person, finish. Okay, that's clear. But what happens when these two values they come into conflict? They do not, they collide. On the one hand, I'm not allowed to put myself in danger. On the other hand, I'm not allowed to turn away when somebody else's life is in danger. So am I allowed, or am I required? What's the difference? What wins out? Do I go ahead and put myself in danger in violation of the first rules that we established because I'm doing it to save somebody else? Or do we say, no, you're not allowed to put yourself in danger, even if it means saving somebody else? Which of these two values wins? So we have another pasuk, source number 22 in Parashat Bahar, Parakope, pasuk on the book. Again, the first half of the pasuk is not important for us. I'll talk about charging interest on loans. Al-tikach meito neshech v'starbi v'resh halakecha v'chei achicha imah. Your brother shall live with you. So this is the this part of the pasuk, again, contextually has nothing to do with our topic, but again, Chazal Darshan. And this is the famous Gemara by Matiyah Daf Samach Beis and Alfin, number 23, the famous story of Yochanan that interprets the pasuk as follows. Shnayim shayu mahalchim b'der. Rabbi Yochanan, hi v'chechichim of my ovidai, mivoyle chetanya b'raisa says, Shnayim shayu mahalchim b'der. Two people were traveling on a journey, and they got lost somehow. Uviyad echad mehen kiton shamayim. One of them had a canteen with water. Okay? So in shosim shnehem, one of them had water and the other was all out of water, and they were lost in the desert someplace. So if in shosim shnehem, they're both going to drink the water, so then they're going to die. Okay, mason. As the Rashi explains, look in 24 Rashi, in yishu shnehem, yomusu batsoma, shein maspik l'shnehem. There's not enough for the two of them to survive. That is a small canteen, there's not enough for the two of them to survive, so if they're going to split it, they're both going to die. But if one of them will keep it for himself, right, Magil Yishuv, he'll have enough to arrive at the nearest town where there's water available and so on. So Doros Ben Keturah, the opinion of Ben Keturah is Mutav Sheyishtu Shneim Yamusu Val Yira Echad Mehem and Musaso Sochaveira. It's better that they should split it, and even the one person should not keep drinking while another person is dying of thirst, literally dying of thirst. You split it, whatever happens, happens. That's the opinion of Ben Keturah. Mutav Sheyishtu Shneim, it's better the two of them should drink it and die than one person drink it himself and watch his friend perish next to him. That's the opinion of Ben Keturah. Ad Shabar Rabbi Akiva, the Limei Din, Akiva came and taught, no. The Pasuk says, our Pasuk in 22, V'chei Achicha Imach, Chayecha Kodmin L'chaye Chavercha. Your life comes first before the life of somebody else. Okay, you need not give up your life rather than watch a friend die. It's a tragic situation, obviously. Okay, but if I've got enough water, again, I'm the one who owns it. It wasn't both of our waters. That's a further discussion. It was my canteen. So even though it's a tragedy, this person, my friend here, is going to die because not enough water. But that's it. Says Rabbi Akiva, the famous Rosh Chayecha Kodmin L'Chayecha Vercha. Your life comes first. Okay, and that's learned because I like the question again. Pasuk says, "V'chei achicha imach." That's what Rashi says. The last Rashi in Torah, imach. Chayecha kodem. V'chei achicha imach. When is there a requirement for you? V'chei achicha. Make sure your friend lives. Imach. When he's with you, when you'll survive also. But you're not mechuyev to give up your life. And the Rosh, that's how he explains the drasha. The Rosh is there in 25 Parakei, there in Bab Metzias Siman Vav. The Apple God, the High Quad Arch, the Little Risk Sutsa, Shiotsi, the Dayanin, this pasuk has nothing to do with this pasuk is so much charging interest on loans, has nothing to do with our topic. Nevertheless, Hav Drosha Shaminim Me Imach, Dimashma Shechaye Achicha Tfeilim Lecha, Bishocha Kodim. Okay, now. So that's point number three. So again, first we establish that in general it's forbidden to do anything to endanger your life. Then we establish there is a mitzvah and it's a violation of iser if a person will go ahead and ignore the possible danger to somebody else and look the other way. You can't do that either. What happens when they collide? So from this Gemara we see, well, if I'm going to lose my life, then I'm not obligated to worry about you at all. Even though, again, it's a tragic situation, my life, chayecha kodmin, my life comes first. That's the way we set up the case in the Gemara, that if we both drink, we're both going to die. So therefore, says Rabbi Akiva, you who own the canteen, you drink it, okay, and the other person is going to die. It's a tragedy, but that's the way it works. Chayecha kodmin, l'chayecha kodmin. Hold on. The question is, though, what if it's not that clear? What if it's not definite that I'm going to die if I split it? The water, let's say. Let's say it's a suffix. Let's say there's I'm not putting, so it seems from that Gemara that I can't put myself in a case of vadai danger to save the life of somebody else. In other words, if it's clear, like in that case in the Gemara, the way we explained it, if it's clear that if I'm going to give up some of the water, so I'm going to die and he's going to die, okay, so then Rabbi Akiva says, Chayecha Koma, I've got to take care of myself first. Yeah, what if it's not so clear? What if we don't know? Maybe the next town is only a couple miles away. We'll keep walking a little bit, and we'll get there, and we'll both live. So that's the question now. What about putting myself in a case of suffering sarcoma? Now, if he doesn't drink the water, he's definitely going to die. So he's in a case, the other guy, is in a case of vadai sarcoma. He's definitely in danger. He's drowning right now. He's going to be attacked by a beast or whatever. Okay? If I get involved and help him, I'm not definitely going to die, but if that would be the case, to take a different case, somebody's drowning, and I don't know how to swim. So to dive into the water, try and help him, so then he's going to drown, and I'm going to drown. So that doesn't make any sense. Okay, I'm not going to save him, I can't put myself in a case of vadai sarcoma. But if it's not so clear, what if, you know, I may not be a trained lifeguard, but I'm a really decent swimmer, and I'm bigger, and I'm stronger than that person, and so forth, and thoughts just one current, and if I jump in, perhaps I'll be able to save him, right? On the other hand, there is some danger involved. I'm not a trained lifeguard, so there's some danger. So that's really not addressed, at least offhand, by that case in Rav Matthias. So that's what we want to look at. So the Kesef Mishnah makes the following comments, verse 26, commenting on that Rama we read earlier, in Parak Aleph, Halacha Yud Dalet. He discusses this way. Well, look at the last line, okay? Because he points out just in general, there's another source for your obligation to save somebody else's life. Because we have a mitzvah also yesterday, Seder, called Hashavas Aveda. You have to return somebody's lost wallet, and a lost book, and a lost hat, and a lost raincoat, whatever else. Okay, so you have to return somebody an item, a monetary item that he lost. So certainly, if you can return him his life, you're obligated to do that, right? That's how the Kesef Mishnah says in a different Gemara. Fine, and he says why they're differently moved in. But look at the last two lines of 26. The cost of Hagos Maimon. Hagos Maimon. Now, this Hagos Maimon does not appear in the regular Rambams that we have. It appears in the Constantine, it's called Fus Constantine, which in the Franco Rambam they print in the back. But anyway, the Kesef Mishnah quotes it. He says, the cost of Hagos Maimon. Over Lo Simon, the Yerushalmi Masik, the Hagos Maimon, he quotes the Yerushalmi Masik, Afilu Lehachnis Atzmo B'Sufek Sakana Chayv. He quotes the Yerushalmi that you have to be willing to save another person, even if it means putting yourself in a case of Sufek Sakana. Again, Vadai Sakana, if you're definitely, again, you can't swim, you know, for sure not. But if you have to put yourself in a suffix sakana, then because the Mishnah quotes Hagos Maimon in the name of Yerushalmi, that says you have to put yourself in a suffix sakana. Why? The nearer it appears to me, says the Kesef Mishnah, Yosef Karo, Shatam Ibnei Shahalo Vadai. The other guy is in Vadai danger. He's for sure in danger. He's going to die. He's going to die if you do nothing. You might be able to save him and yourself. It's a suffix. So therefore, says the Kesef Mishnah, quoting this Hagos Maimon, the name of Yerushalmi, you have to be willing to put yourself, the mitzvah of Osama al-Dam Reach demands that you have to put yourself in a case of suffix. Now, Karas HaGam, that we learned earlier, that you're not allowed to put your life at risk, in danger, that's for no good reason. But if it's the same somebody who is in a Badai Sakana situation, you have to be willing to put your life at risk. That's the simple way of the Kesef Mishnah. Unless we think that he didn't hold this way, Lamaisi says it in the Beis Yosef as well, the same author. Yosef Karo, source number 27, Yosef Karo wrote the Beis Yosef as a commentary on the Tur. He also wrote the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam. He also wrote the Shofar. The Beis Yosef, this is the very last comment of the Beis Yosef. I even printed, it has a little ending here if you want to read it for a moment. But the Beis Yosef says here too, Umasha Kazar Shem Rambam, he quotes the idea of Osama Dam Reach on the second line of 27, and again, and Kalamakai quotes that the Mishnah Sanhedrin we mentioned before. Kalamakai nefeshakavizok hilu kiyam olam mole, and now he says, "Avarach Hashem that I finish this work," and so on and so forth. Fine. So that's the last thing that they show. That's the last comment that they show said in his entire work on the tour. You have to be willing to put yourself in a case of suffix sakana to save somebody else's life if he's in a case of vada of definite sakana. The interesting question, hold on, question. Okay. Yeah.
That
yeah.
We're ignoring the first sentence.
We'll come back. We'll come back. Now, so we're going to assume it's a lot better than Kiva. Okay, anyway. The question is, where is this mysterious Yerushalmi? The Beis Yosef, both in the Beis Yosef and the Kesef Mishnah, quotes the Hagos, Mani quotes Yerushalmi. What Yerushalmi? Who Yerushalmi? You know, it's like when people who have to prepare Shurim are often very frustrated by these type of sources. Kedis of Yerushalmi. We would like to see it, you know. Like Kedis of the Shas, the Kama Makoma. So there's a few places in the Gemara. Tell me one, you know, so I can find it. But anyway, they assume maybe you know. Yeah, right. So I didn't know. So anyway, the Nitziv has a Kazan of Pain. The Nitziv has a commentary on the Shultas. The Shultas is called Hanek Shela. This is in Shulta Kuf Chof Tes, Oz Dalad. And the Tziv suggests what Yerushalmi is being discussed here. The Yerushalmi Maseches Trumas, Parakhes Halacha Dalet, source 28. What does it say there? Reb Imi Itzad V'Stif Sifo. Reb Imi, one of the rabbis, was kidnapped and was taken, you know, by bandits, by pirates or whatever, to Stif Sifo. Some unfortunately say that was the name of the place. The Pnei Moshe, source 29, said it's not the name of a place, it's a description of a dangerous place. And it was a Mokom Sakana. And he was taken by hooligans, and they were going to, it looked like they were going to kill him. And the bandits kidnapped him and so on. And it was known, this place was known for being having tough people and so on. So, Omar of Yonason, Yichare Chameis Bisadino. As the Pengosh explains, get his tachrichim ready. Okay, we got it ready for a funeral. That's it. No one ever comes out of that place alive. Okay, you get taken away by those pirates, by those bandits, no one ever lives to tell about it, nobody ever comes out of that place alive. So Yonason threw up his hands and said, we better get ready for a funeral. That's what he said. Amr Shimon Lakish, Shlakish, said, no, I'm going after him. And either I'm going to kill them, or I'm going to get killed myself. And Shlakish had experience with this type of people. Shlakish himself was a bandit, a hired man at one time, we know from Gemara elsewhere. But anyway, Shlakish says, either I'm going to go in, okay, either I'm going to get killed, or I'm going to kill. But I'm going to go get him. And that's it, I got it. Okay? And that's the plain Moshe explains. Omer, O ani harog, O ani neharag. Either I'm going to go. Now, Shlakish went ahead and said, what did he do? He put himself in a case of danger. So says the Nitziv, that's the Yerushalmi that our government is talking about. Because Reish Lakish was willing to endanger his own life to go save the person, the Reb Imi, who was there, who was in a case of Vaday Sakana. Reb Imi was kidnapped by his people. He was in definite danger. Okay, it was Vaday Sakana, definite danger. And Reish Lakish did it. Yonason said, we've got to get ready for a funeral. And Reish Lakish says, nothing doing. I'm going in there after him. And he did, he got it. So that's the reason. That's the Yerushalmi, which the Kesef Mishnah and the Beis Yosef, you know, that they're referring to. The Reish Lakish was ready to put his own life in danger in order to save this other person. He didn't. He got out okay. That's what he says. Now it's interesting, and maybe Mark is referring to the Chavos Yoer in one of his Tshuvos, in Sim Kuf Mem Vav of Yor Bachar from the Yoer Achronim, source number 30. He says you don't necessarily have to run to the Yerushalmi. Maybe that very story in Bav Metzia, with the two guys at the canteen of water. He says maybe at the end of the first line of 30, Shas Didon, our Shas, that's the Basel. At our Talmud Bavli, you don't have to run to Yerushalmi. But Metzia Daf Samach Beis Nami Hachamashma. The Dafka Hasam Shin Yishtu Shnehem Yamusu Vadai. When do we say the Rebbe Kiva pipe up and say, no, you better drink the water yourself? That's if we know that if they split the water, they're both going to die. Masha'enu came with something, but if it's not so clear, then Yeshloma Yishtu Shnehem. Below Yishtu Hule Vado Yomus Chaveru. Vim came Mechurim Lichnos of Sopek Nefashos. Afilu Besopek Hatzola. He says you could read that Gemara, says the Chavos Yoer, that Gemara of Matthias, saying, when did the Kiva say that you have to be real, sorry, you have to drink the water yourself? Yeah, that's when it's clear, you know, you got some maps or whatever. You're nowhere near any place, and no way if you split it, you're going to be able to survive. But if you're not so sure, now it's a matter of Sopek. Should I drink or should I not? Okay, after all, maybe we'll get to a place later. So in that case, says the Chavos Yoer, according to that Gemara, it also implies that you have to be willing to put yourself in a sort of Rekiva and argue in that case. Then we follow Ben Keturah. But Rekiva only argued in a case, says the Chavos Yoer, when it was definite that they would run out of water if they split it, and neither would survive. But if it's not so definite, so says the Chavos Yoer, Rekiva wasn't talking about that case. Then Takar Allah was like Ben Keturah. So it's possible that that's what's going on there. The truth is, we may find this in the Chumash, an unusual place You know, you ever wonder about this? The Pasuk says in Pasuk Vayesha, Bereishis Parak Lamed Zayin, starting in Pasuk Yud Gimel. This is when Yosef and the brothers, right, after all the dreams and everything. So Yosef and the brothers. So the brothers went to take the flocks to Shem. By Omer Yisrael, Yosef, Halo Achecha Roi Mishchem, L'cho Ereshlocha Aleim, Bar Melo Hineini. I want you to go check out your brothers there in Shem. So by Omer L'cho Lechma Re'ei Eshlom Achech, V'Eshlom Atzom, V'Ashirin Adom, V'Eshlocher, Me'er Kevom, by Omer Shchema. Right, Yosef went to Shem, now we all know what happened next. They, you know, they plotted and they threw him into the pit, and then they sold him to the Yishmael, and that's it. So you all know the story unfold. So there's a commentary, which is an anonymous sheet, the commentary from the Baal HaTos was called Moshev's Kenim Ala Torah, which is comments on that pasuk. Came a Gadol. What was Yaakov doing? Well, Yaakov sent Yosef to this dangerous place where the brothers were. Didn't he know that Shem was a dangerous area and so on? And he says that the Tamer Gadol Chacham Ko Yaakov is Shalach Yosef Ben Achav Alav Bein Achim. He didn't know that the brothers and Yosef didn't get along. What's Yaakov thinking here? Right? Didn't he know that Yosef was having these dreams and the brothers were jealous of him? Vayikanu was supposed to say Vayikanu Echav Avim Shomar Echav Dover. He knew it. Yaakov was not blind to what was going on in his family. So why in the world would he send his beloved son Yosef out to the brothers? He's sending him into the lions then. What was he thinking here? So the Moshe came and says, what he was thinking was, I said before, Shechem's a dangerous place. They are in a vadai dangerous place. What's going to happen to Yosef the Suffolk? So the Moshe came, he said, that's what Yosef, he was thinking of. He was thinking, you know what? Ain Suffolk, about that, Moshe the Suffolk. He was willing to say that Yosef's got to put himself in a potentially dangerous situation with his brothers, because they were in a vadai dangerous. Okay, a possible source. However, with all of this, so with an Nesivah, let's assume the Nesivah is correct, that's the Yerushalmi. Lemaisa, I mentioned to you that it's, Yosef Karo mentioned this in the Kesef Mishnah. He mentions it in the Beis Yosef, this idea that you have to be willing to put yourself even in a suffix hakona, a possible danger to save somebody else who's definitely in danger. But it doesn't say a Shulchan Aruch. He left it out of one place. Three major works, he left it out of the Shulchan Aruch. So the Nira Tanai in the Sma in Source 32, it's in the Tokhov Vav, Sifkat and Beis, comments. He says, he quotes this Yerushalmi, and he says also at the end of Truma, so it wasn't in the Sefer, everybody says this, right? Over the Agos, Maimonis, Kosu Yerushalmi, Masik, the Tzorach, Afu, Akli, Hazma, Sofek, Son of Urzeh, Nevi, Abay, Selser, so the Nira Shatam, whom the Nesha Halo, Vadim, who Savi, like we said, but Gamzeh, he Shmito, HaMechaber, here in the Shulchan Aruch, he left that din out. He quoted the Beis Yosef, he quoted the Kesef Mishnah, you have to be willing to put yourself in potential danger to save somebody else. But he didn't bring in the Shulchan Aruch. And not only that, but the Ramah, right, Ramah, didn't pipe up and say, wait a minute. So both the Mechaber and the Ramah left it out of the Shulchan Aruch. That's astonishing. I mean, if you have this Hagos Maimonides, you have the Yerushalmi, and you have the Beis Yosef quotes it, he quotes in the Kesef Mishnah, but he doesn't leave in the Shulchan, doesn't go in the Shulchan Aruch. Why? So says he at the end of the day, because Kevan Shaposkim, Harif, the Harambam, the Harosh, the Hatur, Lo Hevyu Piskein, so apparently we don't pass him like that. It may well be Rishon. A ghost one is right. But the Rif doesn't bring it, and the Rambam doesn't bring it, and the Rosh doesn't bring it, and the Tur doesn't bring it. All the major posts of Rishon leave that thing out. Therefore, one could argue that in fact, no. Not true, despite the Yerushalmi, you are not obligated to put yourself in, despite Rish Lakish or whatever. You want to say, maybe Rish Lakish was Amidas Chassidus, whatever, that relates to the question. Maybe he can do it, but you don't have to. Says the Sma, that since all the great Yishonim, who are the great major poskim, upon whose works Yosef Karo said he based the Shulchan Aruch. Yosef Karo writes in his introduction to the Beis Yosef that he based his basis of the Shulchan Aruch on the consensus of the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rosh. So the Rif, the Rambam, and the Rosh all omit this thing. And the Torah, for good measure, also omits it. So says the Islam, therefore there's no, so we don't pass like this. There might well be Yerushalmi, there is Yerushalmi. We found it, it's in Chumas, it's a very nice story, but we don't happen to pass him that way. And therefore, the din is, one is not. The other value wins. You're not allowed to put yourself in a situation of danger. Period. Even if it's to save somebody else, no. That's what wins out. There's a din of Losamar al Damreyecha. Yes, Losamar al Damreyecha, as long as it's not dangerous to your own life. But if it's dangerous to your own life, then you're not obligated to do it. And that's what other Rishonim write. There's a sefer in Source 33 I have called Issa Vehetza Aruch. He says, He says it's written by Rabbeinu Yonah, but not the more well known Rabbeinu Yonah, different Rabbeinu Yonah. But he writes and says Shar Nun Tes in Oslam and Ches towards the end, the second line, Umiyu in Bevada Gamkin Humesukan Imo Elo Lesakin Gufo. You're not allowed to endanger yourself, even not a permanent or a Vada danger. You're not allowed to put yourself at risk. Why? Me'achashu Chutz Me'asakana, because I'm not in danger now. Maybe if we're both in danger, okay, it's one thing. We're both in a building that's on fire or something. But now I'm out of danger. I don't have to go into a dangerous place, even to save you. Afo pisharo b'misas chavero, even though see someone else is done. That's the chayach lichimov. Lo motzino, look what he says at the end of 33. Lo motzino chilep bein sakana l'misa vadois. There's no difference between a danger and a definite death situation. If it's dangerous, it's dangerous. Stay away. You're not allowed to go in. The Meiri, in commenting on Sugin Sanhedrin, the Fine Gimel, source 34, there's two words you have to read at the end of the first line. Mishero chaver tovea banohar, you see somebody drowning in the river, o chaya gorar, an animal is attacking him and so on, dragging him, a listing by love, etc. Chayav lishtadel, that's about salto, you have to try and save him. Below sova de ba'atzmo, im hu yachol, below sakana, parenthetical mark, provided you can do so without sakana, but then he goes on and says, you even have to hire people. Those are a couple of key words. Below sakana. That's what Amiri learns the sugya. When are you obligated to save the other person? Below sakana. If you can do it without danger. And so now we have really a machlokas, basically, between, you know, machlokas haposkim. You have this Yerushalmi, but all the big poskim didn't bring it at all. And I showed you this in the Hefter and the Meiri, both write explicitly that you don't have to jeopardize your life, even a suffix sakana, to save someone's Nevada sakana. Why? Why don't we pass like that Yerushalmi? So in source 35, the Pischei Tshuva, there, Choshe Mishkutzin and Tovchav of Sivkot and Beis writes, he says, he quotes another statement at the end of the second line, Mishum Desirle de Talmudah Didan Poligar Yushalmi Behal. Remember, we have two Talmud, the Talmud Bavli and the Talmud Yushalmi. The Talmud Bavli is usually called Talmud Didan, our Gemara. That's considered the Gemara most people study. You look on the shelves in the shul, you go to all the yeshivas, everyone's learning Talmud Bavli. Why? It's a different discussion. But we learn the Talmud Bavli. And usually if there's a conflict in the Bavli and Yushalmi, the Halacha accepts what says in the Bavli, that's the more common, not always, but that's the more common Talmud Bavli. So, says the Pischei Tshuva here, in source 35, he says, you know why we reject that Yerushalmi? It's a nice story with Reish Lakish, but there's a Bavli against it. Sadly, he doesn't tell us either, where's the Bavli that's against it, okay? But he says, it's the Talmud Didan, Poligal Yerushalmi Baham, okay? Although he does say at the end of the Pischei Tshuva, we'll come back to that point when we wrap up shortly, but towards the end, he says, Ulam, look at the last two and everyone's important. Tzorach lishkolein in heitev im yespo suffix sakana. When you're confronted, you've got to calculate carefully. Is there really a danger here? Or am I going overboard? You know, I mean, maybe the danger is not so great. I mean, it's one thing, you know, the collapsing World Trade Center is one thing, but sometimes the danger is not really that great, he says. Lo ledaktek biyoser, you have to be so exact and so precise, because he says maybe next time you'll need that kind of help, the side point. Well, where's the Yerushalmi? So that's not so clear either. Rabbi Yosef has a tshuva in source 36, Chama Vadya. Well, where's the Bavli? I'm right, sorry, where's the Bavli? So that's the tshuva, Chichavadah, Chela Gimelson, page 36, in the middle of the tshuva. He quotes the Sefer Yad Eliyahu. So he says, first of all, even before you get to the Bavli, okay, let's remember that it was a machlokas from Yerushalmi too. The first guy, Rabbi Yonasan, said, I'm not going in, we got to get ready for a funeral. Reish Lakish says, I'll go in. But who says that's our halacha? It's a Adover, he says, Shonen Machokes, Shonen Adover Machokes, Yeres and Reish Lakish. Even the Yerushalmi, it's not so posh as that's the halacha. And that was the position of Reish Lakish. But someone else, Rabbi Yonasan, disagreed with Reish Lakish. He said, I'm not going in, right? We are not going, we're not Machuyu. So number one, it's a Machokes. And the answer is Halacha Yonasan. Pass the halacha back to Yonasan. You don't have to come on to the Bavli. But he also refers to a Gemara Nida. That's what I show you over here. Source 37. Interesting story. Interesting story. Hanu b'nei Galila. Okay. Dinafik alayu kala de kato nafshe. There were two Jews, so two people in the Galil. Northern Eretz Yisrael, right? The Galilee. And there was some kind of word out that they killed somebody. And they were running away from the posse, you know, they were running away. And they came to Reb Tarfon. Also, Lekame de Reb Tarfon. Amarle lit marina mar. They came to Reb Tarfon. Said that they're on our tail. Hide us. They come into Reb Tarfon's house. Hide us. They'll find us a hiding place. So Tarfon says, what do I do now? Amarle hechenadu. What am I supposed to do? Ilo at marincho. Chazuya Sefer, because if I'm not going to hide you, they're going to see you, they're going to find you. And you know, they'll do whatever they do. This wasn't a government that was favorably disposed towards Jews. Okay? On the other hand, it's Mrinchu, but if I am going to hide you, Ha'omer Rabbanan, Ha'i Lishna Bisa, Apogadil Kabul Elom Abai, Mechashay Abai. Okay? On the other hand, maybe the report about you guys is true. Maybe you did kill us. Maybe you deserve to be arrested by the government. Right? Maybe you did. You are murderers. Because although you're not allowed to believe Lashon Hara is fact, you're allowed to be choshesh for the possibility that it's true. So he says, what am I going to do? So he says, go find the hiding place yourself. And that's what Rashi explains in Source 38. Mechash Lein Boy. Again, this is Nidah Samach Havanah. V'shem Haradkem, V'osur Lahatzil Aschem. Maybe I'm not allowed to save you. And Sefer Hasidim writes in Source 39, from Tov Reish Pei Gimel. Quotes a pasuk in Mishlei says, "In boreach rotzeach alecha al tekablehu." If a fugitive coming to you, don't take him in. Ben Yehudi, ben Nachri, kemaisa der tarfen lemida, like the story of Tarfon. Because maybe it's true. But Tosus has a different angle. Tosus, the issue is not whether it's true or not. What Tosus says is different than look at Source 40. Tosus need the samachav al the divyamask at merinchu. Tosus says, if I'm going to take you in, so I'm harboring a fugitive. If they find me giving you a place to hide, my head's on the line now. That's a paraphrase. He says, look in the second line, he says, Atman Eschem, source 40, Chayavtem Roshi on us. Now I'll put myself on the line for harboring a fugitive. And I'm not going to do that. And therefore, he didn't do it. It's a little different. He calls Neshultas, not the Gizm Neshultas. Whatever it is, you see, according to Tosfos now, that's the point. Rav Tarfon says, you know, listen, fellas, I feel bad for you, but I'm not obligated to put myself at risk. If that posse comes here and they're going to start searching houses and they're going to find you hiding in my basement, now I'm in trouble. So Tarfon said, bye. Go find another place to hide. Don't come into my house. So therefore, says the quoting that, and others say, that's the Babli. That's the Babli that disagrees with the Yerushalmi. Because there you see that Rav Tarfon was not willing. These guys were in vadai danger. The sheriff was after them. Okay? And the Tarfon was not willing to put himself at a possible risk. Look, it was only a possible risk, because maybe they'd never find him. Maybe they'd hide him under a place, and maybe the authorities would come in, and they'd search, they'd not find him. But the Tarfon was not willing to put himself in a situation of suffering sakana, because if they found him, he's in trouble. He was not willing to risk his own life to save these guys who were vadai in trouble. So therefore, Mamela, that may be another source indicating against the Yerushalmi, against the action of Reish Lakish. Right? The Tarfon was not willing to put himself into danger. And the truth is, at some point, it's mashma like that from Rashi. Rashi in Sanhedrin on Gimel and Aleph, suited from before. Kamash malon lo samar al dam reecha lo samar al atzmecha mashma elachazor al kol tzadim shalayave dam reecha. Look at every angle, but Rashi doesn't say including risking your own life. I mean, it's not necessarily a raya. But again, Rashi doesn't. The implication of Rashi is that we're not going to force a person to do more than look into whatever normal angles are, but not risk his life. And it's him in a different shilta, in Kuf Mem Zion, Oz Dalad, says something else, and the Maran Shik says something similar in the Tshuva, Chelek Erodeus, and Kuf Mem Hei. He said, you don't have to come on to that Gemara neither. We go back to our Gemara from Bab Metzia, with the two canteens, the canteen of water with the two guys, one canteen of water with the two guys. Says in the Tziv, I'm going to say it outside, say some fun. Wait a second. What in the world could possibly have been the opinion of Ben Fatur? Ben Fatur was the guy who said, there's only one canteen of water, and he says, I have a canteen of water, my friend doesn't. So Ben Fatur says, better we should split it and both die, rather than I should drink it and live and watch my friend die. Really? Does that make any sense? Two people should die instead of one? I mean, how could Ben Fatur even posit such a possibility? So like, I don't agree with this degree. But forget about Rakim a minute. Well, what's Ben Fatur thinking? I mean, it's a terrible thing to watch somebody die, no question. But to say, rather watch someone die, I should die? I have water, and I should give him half the water. So he said, Ben Fatur's opinion makes no sense. I mean, if we look back at the source, you'll see it inside. The language appears always, and it can't be what it means. It was back in Source 23. He says, Doris Ben Fatur, Mutav Sheyishtu Shneem V'Yamusu V'Al Yira Echon Mehem V'Misoso Shel Chaveiro. Really? Could that be better than the guy? Two people dying for one. Who in the world would come up with such a psak? Okay, rather than three guys. So says in the Tziv, no. Not that they were both Vadai going to die. They're not Vadai going to die. It could be that if we split it,
will come, you know, in a helicopter will come in a few minutes and rescue us. If we split it, we'll both be saved. So therefore, says Ben Keturah, the guy with the canteen is required to put himself into suffix sakam. In other words, says that it's him, and the Ram Sheikh, that our machokas is the machokas Ben Keturah Makiva. That's exactly what they're arguing about. Ben Keturah says, yes, you have to put yourself into suffix sakam. Nobody's going to claim that it's better for two people to die than one person to die. In any circumstance, it doesn't make any sense. So says that it's good. That's not what Ben Keturah meant. Ben Keturah meant, let's split the water and let's see what happens. Right? Maybe we stay. Maybe a caravan will come by next 15 minutes. Who knows? We never know what's going to be. So says Ben Keturah, I, the owner of the canteen, have to be willing to put myself into a situation of possible sakana, to save you. You're involved by sakana if you don't have any water. And Akiva says, no, chayecha kolim. Akiva says, no, you don't even have to do that. My life comes first. I don't have to endanger. I don't have to put myself even into a risk to save somebody else. In other words, the chap of the Netziv and the Ramshik and the Tshuva and so on is that the machlokas and that gemara between the Kiva and Ben Keturah, that is the dispute that we're talking about. Are you obligated to put yourself into possible danger to save somebody else who's in a definite danger? It says Ben Keturah, yes. Split the water. Says the Kiva, no. Chayach HaKodim. So that's a creative approach of the Netziv and the I'm shaking others as well. So just to finish up in terms of the halacha, we pass on the key, not obligated to, and that's why it doesn't appear in the Shulchan Aruch, and that's why the Rambam and everybody else left it out. Okay, we look in source 42, for example, the Shulchan Aruch Harav Balatanya, first of all, the Rebbe says, if you look on the second line, this is in Siman Shin Chof Tes of Arachayim Sivches, second line of source 42. In Mekol Mokom, Yesh Sakana, Ein Lo L'Sakein Atzmo Kedei L'Hatzil Es Chavero, Me'achashu Chutz Min HaSakana. You don't have to put yourself in danger, or you can't, we'll see, put yourself in the danger to save, because you're not in danger now. And that's what the Chai Bohem means, V'lo Sheyavah L'Dei Sofek Misa. You can't put yourself into danger. Okay, the Radvaz, however, opens up the possibility in the Tshuva, Chelek Gimelson, Tov Reish Chav Zayin 43, about volunteering to do it. You don't have to. Well, now what if, can I volunteer to do it? In other words, okay, we've established that the halachas are kevikiva, and that's the Shulchan Aruch and so on, that you don't have to put yourself into suffix sakana to save somebody else. But what can a man volunteer to do it? So the Radvaz is talking about being willing to give up a limb to save somebody else in particular circumstances. And he says at the end of the page, in Yesh Sofek Sakana Steflashos HaReza Chosid Shota. Chosid Shota is a pious idiot. Okay, if you're willing to give up, you put yourself in a case of Nesok Sakana Steflashos that you can't do. But what if it's only a limb, so that he entertains the possibility you can, and you can risk limb, if not life. And in another tshuva, on the next page, he also discusses the possibility of somebody going into Suffolk Shekhanah for other reasons. He entertains the possibility. Okay? And so the Siv mentions it also. The Aruch HaShulchan, let's wait, I'm going to just finish up quickly. The Aruch HaShulchan in Source 45, summarizes, he says, HaPoskim Hebi, this is Sim Tav Chavav and Chosh HaMishpah, Siv Dalit. HaPoskim Heviu b'shem Yerushalmi dechayav adam la'achnis atzmo l'sapik sakana pe'lahatzel chavero. He summarized everything neatly as he always does. The poskim bring from the Yerushalmi that a person is obligated to put himself in a case of suffix sakana to save his friend. The Harishonim hishmitu zeh, but the Harishonim omit this din neshe b'shash shalom muchuch she'en al chayav. Our Gemara, whichever Gemara we want to accept, whether it's a Tarfon, whether it's the Netziv of the Maram Shik's reading of the Gemara with the Mekivan of Ben Keturah, whichever it is, umiu akol l'fi ha'inyan. He says you have to look at each case. V'yesh lishkol ha'inyan b'tlas v'lo lishmars atzmo yoseh midah. Consider every case carefully. Is this really a suffix sakana? I mean, anything could be a suffix. Walking across the street is a suffix sakana, right? Anything. So he says, don't go overboard with that. And Shabura says the same thing in Shin Chav Tes, Sivkot Yutes. He says, Afilu suffix sakana nami adif seka diday made vadai de chavero. Okay? He says, even for me, my own suffix life is stronger than the other guy's body danger. But again, he says, "Elatzara ulam tzarek lishkol hadarm hatef." To weigh the situation very carefully. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in a tshuva in source 47. It's part of a long tshuva. This, by the way, I should mention, is what Rav Moshe Feinstein, someone of Rav Yosef, was talking about that tshuva too. It's not talking about the World Trade Center, something like that. He's talking about organ donations. Mm-hmm. It's the exact same question. Right? There's an inherent risk going under anesthesia to donate a kidney, let's say, you know, you can live without a kidney, but you know, there is certain danger. Now, of course, you know, danger is less nowadays than it was, let's say, 25 years ago, whatever, as medicine advances. But that's the question: organ transplants and so on. Are you allowed to put yourself at risk? This other person is in a vadai danger. The exact case: the other person is in a vadai danger. That's why these tumors appear in medical context. You're allowed to put yourself at risk to save somebody else. So Moshe writes, Afsha kasamti, the afsha ena odem mechuyav lahachnis atzmo l'safek sakar mishul atzol kashkar mikom rakam rashai. You're allowed to. Okay, at least under certain circumstances. On the other hand, Dayan Weiss, Yitzhak Weiss, of the Eidach HaRedis of Shalim, 48, in his Shuvah's Minchas Yitzhak, Kelev Bobson, Kuf Gimel, he said, yeah, but that's only if you can definitely save him. You have to take that into account too. That's an important point. He says in source 48, Avo Mutter Imrotze, yeah, Kol Ze Dafka in Yachnis Atzma L'Safek Sakana Yatzil Es Chaveru Bebirur. It's pretty clear you're going to be able to save the guy. And that again is an interesting question. You have a burning building, is it so clear you're going to be able to get up to where the person is? Not so clear. That's what the he brings. There also might be a difference. What if it's one person and as many other people are in danger? That's a bigger subject. I'm just throwing it out now for the sake of completion. That's an interesting question also. What if, you know, you're going to save a lot of people? As a fascinating comment, you know, the Torah says in Source 49, when Moshe Rabbeinu went back to Mitzrayim to save, to redeem the Jews, so it says, V'yomer Hashem Gal Roshmos Pasuk Yutes, V'yomer Hashem Moshe B'midyan Leich Shuv Mitzrayim Ki Meisu Kol Anashim Akshon Asa Hashem. Remember, Moshe Rabbeinu had to run away years earlier because he had been, found out that he beat the Mitzri to death, who was beating the Jews, so he had to run away. And now, all these years later, the question is sort of exactly how long, but many years later, he comes, he goes back, and says, don't worry, all the people who are after you are dead. Okay, and you can go back, it's safe for you to return. So unbelievable, the Meshach Chochma writes, it's so true, the Meshach writes, towards the end of the first line, he quotes the first, he says, Mucha bim hayu chayim anvaksim es nafsho, lo hoya tzorech leilech, even lahot tibin eson mitzayim. He says, if those people who were after him were still alive, I said, you can go back to Mitzrayim now, because the people who were after you are dead, no one's after you anymore. Implying, says the Meshach Chochma, that if the people were still alive, you would not have to go to Mitzrayim, even though your job is to bring the Jews, even something so noble, so unbelievable, bring the Jews out of Mitzrayim. You're not the one to risk your life to do it. That's how far it goes. That's the Meshach Chochma says. Others disagree with that. Now, this, many people learn differently. They take the Meshach Chochma test, it's the first straw. In the Yochanan Boaz, Marcus Karek Beis, Ozbeis says, what do you mean? You don't have to save Kol Yisrael. They bring a riot from Esther. Right? Esther from Purim was willing to risk her life to save all the Jews, and so on and so forth. It's an interesting thing if you save all the Jews, but if you can, what about saving a lot of people? Rabbi Shechter in the Sefer Nefesh HaRav, quote, we'll just wrap up now, in Binyan Pikuach Nefesh, it's page Kuf Samach Vav, he tells the story of the famous Ger Tzedek of Vilna. There was the days of the Vilna Gaon, the 1700s, there was a non-Jew, Count Potocki was his name, who converted to Judaism. And ultimately was martyred. So he said, "V'inyan in mutu lahachnis atzmo l'safek sakana manasa hatzel es chaveru amid baris sakana." Our case, quote from the Shabura Fan, "Umay se'ira b'nei ha'grov." There's a story in the days of the grov. "Shagonu dvar me'ha'knesia ha'katolit shebe Vilna." Certain items were stolen from the Catholic Church in Vilna. "V'nafal ha'chashar al-kol ha'yudin." Obviously they blame the Jews if they need all this stuff. Right, they blame the Jews. The authorities were going to go and make a pogrom, they were going to kill Jews to punish them for stealing from the church. This Ger Tzedek came to ask the Vilna Gaon. He was going to come forward and say, I did it. He was going to admit it. Okay, thereby saving the other Jews. He's putting himself in a situation of a real sakana to save others. And so on. And he thought that maybe, this is the way the Rav told it over, maybe since he came from Catholic origins, he thought maybe they'll have Rachmanos and they won't kill him, in deference to his family and so on and so forth, so they wouldn't kill him. Anyway, the Vilna Gaon said he has to think about it. He wanted to sleep on it overnight, and he came back and he said that he's allowed to do it, and the Ger Tzedek admitted and he was executed for it. So he saved all the Jews. So this is a person putting himself, what was the suffix, Sakana, to save us. Then he goes on and tells a story that one time in Brisk, during the cholera epidemic, there was a cholera epidemic, it was very contagious,
and there was quite people fainting in the streets and so on, and people needed help, and could the healthy people go to the hospital to help out? And Chaim went himself, and his family members went and thought to help other people. So maybe there's a difference if it's more than one person, and it's not the same as Paul of Kal Yisrael. Lastly, and again, I'm not saying halacha l'maaseh, I'm just bringing it out. The last source on all the pages is a tshuva from the Tzitz Eliezer, of Eliezer Yehuda Waldenberg, who was the postdoc for Shari Tzedek. He died a couple of years ago. He was the postdoc for Shari Tzedek Hospital in Eretz Yisrael. Many, many medical tshuvas. He proposes a different. What about a doctor? Should a doctor go in if there's people with contagious? You know, how is that going to be a doctor? So he distinguishes. If you look at source 52, he says, in Bayes, this is Tzitz Eliezer, is the Chelek Tessim and Yud Zion, Perikei, host Bayes. He says, the Rofe Kula Alma Yodu Shekain Tzarkikana, the suffix, Sakana Kedela Hagisha Tipu Lachola. A doctor, everybody agrees, has to put himself, that's his job, is to put himself at risk. Well, translating that over, so maybe a Hatzolah worker or a fireman, especially, I would add, if they're trained, okay, I mean, for me to run into a burning building, but a fireman is trained how to do it, okay, maybe the Sakana is less for him. But that's what the Tzitz Eliezer is talking about. A doctor, he does have to, I'm not saying, this is his opinion, I once spoke to a chef about this, disagrees with this talk, but anyway, he says about the doctor, Shekain Tarplikonis, L'Sopek Sakonik Kedela Hagisha Tipu L'Chola. And he says that that's the way of the world, that's the job of the doctor, to go in, and if you're not going to do it, so more people are going to get sick, and the disease will spread, and so on and so forth. So he says it's certainly not going to be considered a Chosid Shote, it's certainly not going to be considered someone who's going against the Halacha. So you look at the last thing, Yud Beis, Mikola Amor. Near a borer, the mutal of shaper l'rofe l'sakanis atzmo l'tapel gam becholim negul machos madbekos. That's contagious diseases. Mikol atzum wol tov lo aleinu. V'chol alfanim. V'od l'mitzvah rabbah techosul. That's a mitzvah for him to do so as well. Okay. And ma gam mitzarev l'zeh deos haposu hachokmar v'az demei l'sabrish v'chal yeshiv. Let's remember that some posts will say you have to do it anyway. You're not a doctor. He said to machlokas. But you put that all together and he thinks that it's a mutal. So again, a person who works with Hatzolah, a person who was a fireman and so on and so forth, maybe, again, based on Tzitz Eliezer, maybe you could argue that becomes his responsibility, that's his job, and again, especially in certain circumstances, his training is such that the sakana may not be the same for him as it would be for a person who's untrained. Many of these issues, obviously, are where exactly you draw the line. I didn't come here this evening to Pascha Halacha, but just to go through, clearly, you know, we have these values, we place a tremendous value on life in every direction. Okay, a person has to watch out, you have to take care of your own health and your own well-being under all circumstances. On the other hand, we're concerned for the possible danger to others. And then we have a question, what if those two things collide? Clearly, there doesn't, the way we seem to Pascha, not clearly, there's different shikas, but seems that we don't have one, does not have to risk his life to save somebody else, although the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishabura and really the Pisei Tshuva earlier say that you don't go overboard with, well, I don't want to take any danger at all. What's danger? Figure out what danger is. I mean, like I said, sometimes walking across the street is dangerous too. So you have to figure out, is this really the type of danger which gives me the right to say I can't get involved? You're talking about somebody else's life. It's only somebody else's life. And people who are trained, again, like the Tzitz Eliezer says, may have a different obligation, at least on one level. And again, we, in commemorating September 11th, are indebted to the people who went down and put their lives at risk and, you know, many fire officials and so on lost their lives among those who perished, trying to save other people. Again, it's a situation, hopefully it's much more pleasant to discuss it when we're learning it, you know, as a halacha, and it should not be something that Hashem will have to confront ever again. And again, we recall the memory of Mordechai and Mark Rosenberg here in our shul, and all those people who perished on that terrible day 10 years ago, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have rachem on us, and on our country in the United States, and on all the Jewish people, and we should live b'shalom, and see b'yis m'shef v'kenem, and remain amen.